Well, good morning. Well, we continue our path through the season of Lent. If you've been with us, you know that we've been looking at different Old Testament passages that convey the story of God. It's a story that ultimately culminates and will culminate at the resurrection. And our passage today is one that looks directly at that event, at the resurrection. But to see that glorious event more clearly, it is also a passage that looks back and travels to the difficult and dark places, those honest places of our lives that can be uncomfortable to be in. So let's turn together to Ezekiel 37, and verses 1 through 14. Feel free to follow along in your order of worship or your Bible, or just listen as I read. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. You shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I look, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is God's word is given for our good. Let me pray for us. Father, we ask that by your Spirit, that you would come and meet us. Meet us in all of the ways in which we are coming this morning. Some of us may be distracted by things in our homes, things at work. Maybe some of us kind of finding it difficult to be here. We feel a sense of numbness in our soul about our relationship. We have doubts or questions that are emerging. Some of us, maybe, Lord, as well, coming with hope, coming with a sense that that you are our God, that you are with us, that you are leading us. And in all of these ways, and in forever way we are coming, Lord, meet us, and by your grace, make us into the image of your Son, Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen. Well, this is a time in Israel where there was incredible despair. Right? It's a time of profound anguish. And the prophet Ezekiel is writing in a time of exile, exile away from Jerusalem and the place of promise into a foreign place, into Babylon. And the nation of Israel had been ransacked by this foreign enemy and forced into exile, and their life, their whole way of being, had completely collapsed. And it's in the midst of these kind of devastating circumstances that God comes to Ezekiel and he takes him by the hand to this valley. God takes him on a tour, or for some of us, a nightmare, if you will, right? It's something straight out of a horror film, perhaps, that there are these bones everywhere, dry ones, so much that it's obvious that they have been there a long time, exposed and dry. A harsh place that God takes Ezekiel. But in the midst of this valley of death, the bones cry out. And they say, this is an object lesson, Ezekiel, for my people about the kind of reality and state of being that the people of God have come to. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And you get the sense that Ezekiel is saying, you know, why are you asking me this question, God? I mean, you know, Lord, right? I mean, it's as if he gives voice to the whole of God's people, which is to say that we are numb, Lord. We've reached our end. It's over. Yet it is in the midst of this end, this resignation of death, if you will, that God provides this beautiful and wonderful picture of hope to his people. And really, by extension, to you and to me. And when we look at this text, as strange and as dark as it is, maybe some familiar things may emerge for us. Perhaps we know what it's like to be at our end, to feel the absence of hope, to experience a numbness or a longing for a new life. Maybe you've lost your good health, or someone in your family is struggling with an illness. Maybe you're struggling with a secret that you can't or you are reluctant to share with anybody, but it's there and it's moving with you as your passenger. Maybe you might be bogged down with debt or financial troubles. Maybe there's a relational or family tension that is overwhelming you. Or maybe you just feel alone. Perhaps you feel the pain, you feel stuck or helpless because you see neighbors brought low by persistent injustice against systems or principalities that make it harder for them to have access to things that they need to flourish and to live. And that nagging question, can these bones live? Can there be new life in me? Can there be hope for my neighbor? Can there be something that will change in the world and in me? And it's so easy to despair, and yet what we find is that we are not just human beings in this broken world, a dried up bag of bones, but we are waiting for an infusion of life that can come only through what this passage ultimately points us to. So what does this passage give to us in the way of hope, in the way of new life? Well, I want us to see two things. First, the text shows us where hope is found, where we go to find hope. And secondly, how you get it when you get there. So first of all, where do we go to find hope? Well, Ezekiel says, and maybe this seems strange, we go to the valley. We go to the valley, and in a lot of ways, what you see here is that you go to the place where you least expect to find hope. He didn't go to the mountaintop. I mean, you think of a mountaintop experience where you can look out at the vista and gain a better perspective. No, he takes him into the middle of a cavernous valley. It's not a place teeming with life. I mean, there's a bunch of skeletons there, right? I mean, the dry bones, there's no hint of life. I mean, these aren't just corpse. They are bleached by the sun skeleton. And these bones, this sign, if you will, is not just some creepy picture meant to scare, but it points both back to the reality of who we are as broken people in a broken world, but it also points forward to our hope and to our need. It points back because it shows us why we ended up the way that we are, why Israel is a people in exile. And this idea and reality of exile is a prominent one in the story of God. I mean, here in our text, exile is really a symbol based in something real, that this idea of Israel being removed from its homeland, being brought into exile in Babylon, was really a picture of to Israel and to you and to me of human experience. Right, the very first human beings, they were in paradise, but because they turned away from their creator, their maker, they were exiled from God's presence. They're cast out. They're cut off. And that's the exact terminology here in our text. It's the breaking of the sweet covenant relationship with their creator. And that's where Israel found themselves now, and it's really our experience as well. This ruptured relationship with our own creator has left us, spiritually speaking, like a bag of bones. Now you might say, you know, I don't feel like that. I feel alive, and in some ways, maybe we mistake this reality of this physical existence with what full-orbed human life is all about, right? And in a place like Chicago, where there's much energy, and in a neighborhood like this one, where there's so much growing, it can be easily mistaken, right? If you think about it, you know, if you go on a walk in the neighborhood, it's hard not to run into a park where there are young kids playing and community activities going on, and just a vibrancy, a natural pictures of promise, of hope. And sometimes the things around us that we put ourselves around, they are a mirage of well-being against maybe these deeper realities of our lives. That oftentimes it takes a startling encounter with reality. It takes a reality check like Ezekiel had to realize who we really are. That as a result of our fractured relationship with God, we are exiled out from His presence. And even though we may feel alive in many respects, there is an inner nagging that we sense that things aren't as they ought to be. That we are exiled. That we are separated from the one who made us. And being in exile, it points us back into the story to see who we are, but it also points us forward to a counterintuitive, paradoxical rhythm to life. That the way up is down. That the place where you go to find hope is in the valley. Where you are coming to terms with who you really are. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you lose it. In the valley, it reminds us that we are at the greatest point of our possible strength when we see our own weakness, when we see that we don't have our lives together, when we admit that we are all a far greater mess than we'd like to admit. And that's the point. That's that it's in the middle of the valley when we have the greatest sight. Jody has a song taken from an old Puritan prayer called The Valley of Vision. And many of you know it, and it's been part of our worship here. And the lyrics, if you remember them, they oscillate back and forth in that wonderful kind of paradoxical way. Right? Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, you've brought me to the valley of vision where I live in the depths, but I see thy heights. You know, it's in the valley where I'm able to see this bag of bones all dried up. And our truest spiritual lives are from this place, looking up to the one who is actually on the mountain, who is actually in the high places of glory and life. And this is the beautiful and scandalous truth about our Christian lives, that we find life and hope in the place we least expect to find it. I mean, think about Peter. One of Jesus' closest disciples, the rock with whom God would build his church, and ultimately he walks in the valley of betrayal. His denial, it saves him from the cross, but it leads him to the valley of bones. And yet it's in this place he meets the resurrected Jesus. His life radically changed. And later he writes, you know, we are born into a living hope from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His life knew that. He knew what it was like to encounter God in the valley. And when you find yourself stuck in a valley, in a place of despair, what you want is some perhaps quick exit or some positive idea. But what we need is something that anchors us, something that is constant, that you can ground your life in. And if you are lost in the valley, you need more than just the compass. You need the constant true north of your life, found in your Maker, found only in Christ. And what God said to Ezekiel here in verse 12, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves. That is a pointer to what happened at the resurrection. That Jesus, what Paul says, would be the first fruits of what would become normative for all of God's people. That you and I, though we would die physically, wouldn't taste death ultimately. That death is not something that consumes us, that we can scorn death. That our greatest fear doesn't have to be the end, because Jesus has risen from the dead. And what's needed for dead people spiritually is to be born anew. And that's one of the pictures that we have, very prominently displayed in the New Testament, in the resurrection. And we see it here in this passage. And when you are looking for hope, where do you go? You go to the valley. You find it because in the valley you come to terms with who you really are and the great need to be rescued by God. So Ezekiel, he shows us where we find hope. Hope found in the valley. But how do you get it? You get it by listening and by breathing. And that seems maybe perhaps strange, but this is what both of these pictures are present here in Ezekiel 37. One, we said, by listening. And after Ezekiel goes on this tour of the valley of bones, God said to him, prophesy to these bones. In other words, preach to the bones. Now, let's be honest. I mean, we might be thinking, you know, I wonder if Ezekiel is thinking this, right? This sounds a little crazy, right? Somebody's preaching at bones, and you, something's not quite right. But not only this, right? I mean, we can imagine Ezekiel's also thinking, you know, what are my words going to do to change the situation? Right? He said, say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, we're always listening for words, and in some words we listen to extra carefully because they, in a way, bring us life, right? Maybe it's a compliment. You know, we can live off that for at least a day. Maybe it's a sense of success or competency, that word of affirming knowledge, that word affirming your knowledge or expertise that might prop you up for a while. And all of these other words, all of these things that we listen to try and prop our lives up, that's all that they are, really. Stand-ins. Stand-ins and props that we hear for a moment and then they're gone. But God's life-changing word is altogether different. It's in this passage described as an earthquake, actually. It says that when he prophesied to the bones, there was a rattling. But the word could actually be translated as earthquake. It's a violent thing. If you truly hear, if you truly listen, God's word will do kind of that disruptive work in your life. God hasn't come in simply to comfort us, but when his word penetrates, it disturbs, and oftentimes just as much as it comforts. And it becomes that question that Jesus presents to his disciples. Do you have ears to hear? Are you listening for God? Jesus is the living word, the incarnate word who became flesh. And he said, and as Lauren read in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. Jesus, when he hears of his good friend Lazarus' death, he went to him. And Lazarus had been dead a number of days already by the time Jesus had gotten there. Jesus was deeply upset over this. And it was his mere word, Lazarus, come forth, that brought him out of the tomb. He said, take his grave clothes off and let him go. You know, it's the word of Jesus that breaks through and it frees us. It's easy, I think, to sort of kind of mute this, though. You know, when I was in high school, I worked at a Christian bookstore, and they would play VeggieTales on a loop all day. And to this day, if I hear the opening song, it is like nails on a chalkboard. You know, I need it to go away. And in many ways, it can be easy to do this in our spiritual lives, right? But we just mute what we don't want to hear. We can filter out what we don't want to hear. And what we really need is to let God's life-giving words wash over us, to bring shape and form to the broken down bones of our lives. We need God's life-giving word to breathe into our lives. Because even though Ezekiel prophesied to these words, to these bones, that they had a kind of a certain form as he did that, and they took a certain shape, there still wasn't life in them. And so he breathed into these bodies his breath. And you see seven times this word breath emerge. And in Hebrew, it's the same word for spirit. And indeed, that's the whole point of the symbolism here. That it's God's spirit that takes his word and makes it like a life-giving force in us to build new life, to make us new. And what does this mean for us, right? Well, it's receiving God's word in such a way that it moves from simply being words to being like lyrics put to music. To allow God's word to seep down in us, to challenge us, to open us, and to bring us new life. And what song does the word of God play more than any other? The one that plays throughout the entirety of his story? The one that reaches down into the depths of the valley, to the dark chasm of death, and breathes life-altering melodies into our soul. It's the only song that can do this work, and it's the song of the gospel. That though we are exiles, that though we are a bag of bones, dead in our sin, God sent a Savior, Jesus, who although has a rightful seat at the right hand of God, is himself moved out of the city and brought to the place of the skull, crucified into death, but raised so that we may be whole. So the breath of God, the Spirit of God, would awaken our souls. And this gospel, it is our hope. And it absolutely meets us in the valleys, in our places of despair, in our doubts, in our fears, and most definitely in and among our sin. The gospel, it anchors us to experience that when we repent, we find freedom. That when we give and it takes from our resources, our time, our energy, we gain more than we could ever imagine. That when we confess our sin, when we live in the depths, we see his heights and experience his grace. Let me pray for us. Father, help us to see and move with us into the valley. Help us to see clearly the ways in which we move away from life. We move towards things that are broken down, that maybe even feel and experience like death to us. By your Spirit, God, move us out of those into newness, into new life. It can only be found in your Son, Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.